Please turn to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. We're going to address a subject that, well, I guess you could say a lot of people have questions about. And in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which shall open her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. But he's lucky God didn't strike him dead. You know, Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. That's not true. Because once the first person has killed him, that's it. I mean, he gets it. Nobody else gets a chance. You got to pay attention to what you're reading here, folks. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. You want to talk about grace and mercy? You know, Cain's belly aching. My punishment is more than I can bear. Dude, you just killed your brother. You committed murder. And you're blaming God for this. God, if you had accepted my offering, this would have never happened. That's essentially what he's saying. And, you know, Cain never even thought about the fact God could strike me dead this minute. No, he just belly aches and complains some more. And God puts up with it. And said, All right, fine, whoever slays you, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And I'm thinking, why are you that concerned, God? You know what I'm saying here? Here's Cain, committed this murder, his own brother, and then God says, All right, I'll tell you what, if anybody kills you, vengeance on them sevenfold. Why? Why isn't there vengeance sevenfold on Cain? All right. Nevertheless, that's the way it is. You know what I find interesting in all this? Cain is having a conversation with God. Like he's standing right there. Like God walked into the kitchen and interrupted his coffee and bagel. He's just talking to him back and forth. Like it's no big deal. Does that mean that Cain was used to having conversations with God? I don't know, but he sure doesn't act too shocked based on what we read here. He's having a conversation with God. Well, now look over in Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. Genesis 6, 13. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And the story continues. But what we see here is that God speaks to Noah, and Noah hears him and does what he's supposed to. Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years when he departed out of Haran. God talked to Abram. Now, this isn't the only time God spoke to him. You know, you keep reading, you see there was more. God talked to Abram. Abram knew it was God. And he obeyed. Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. Now, we're kind of jumping midstream into this story. But Exodus chapter 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses, and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm, and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land, unto the land, concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for a heritage. I am the Lord. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel. We'll stop right there. All right, what are we seeing? God spoke to Moses. Now, this isn't the only time he spoke to him, but God spoke to Moses. Moses knew it was God, and he turned around and he told people what God said. Turn over to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Pick it up in verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, we'll stop there. All right, what do we see? We see God speaking to Joshua, being very specific. And Joshua knew that it was God. And then Joshua turned around and began talking to the people about what God said. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious or rare. In those days there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. So here's, now Samuel's young, he's just a kid. Here he is, lying down in bed, and God speaks to him, and he says, here am I. Now it continues on, this happened again, it happened again, he goes into Eli and says, Eli, what do you need? Eli realized Samuel was hearing God, and Eli said, next time he speaks, you know, say, here I am, Lord, you know, tell me what you want. And that's what happened. So at first, Samuel didn't recognize, you know, he's young. This is, you know, a young kid. He didn't recognize this was God speaking to him, but he heard God. He heard God. Now, whether it was, you know, an out loud voice like what I'm saying right now, or his internal, bottom line is, he heard God. Now look over in Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. Give you a moment to find it. And in Jeremiah chapter 18, we pick this up in verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Now we'll stop right there. Well, Jeremiah did. He went to the potter's house, and then God spoke some more to him. So what we have then is Jeremiah hearing the voice of God, giving him an instruction, and God saying, okay, now do this, and when you do it, I will speak more to you. I'll give you more information, more instruction. And so Jeremiah did it. Now, when you read through Jeremiah, you see more than once, God spoke to him. So this is just one example. But he recognized that this was God speaking and giving to him instructions. Now look in Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. And jump over to verse 28. Again, we're jumping into the middle of the story here. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. There had been a prophecy. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and Daniel said, okay, some bad stuff's going to happen here, king. Well, verse 28, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. He walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And the voice continues on telling him, here's what's going to happen. But Nebuchadnezzar, not a Jewish person, but he heard the voice of God. Now jump ahead to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And we're going to pick up reading in verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Well, if you continue reading, not just this in Matthew, but in other accounts, what we find out is that John heard this also, and other people heard this as well. So God spoke, and not everybody necessarily recognized that this was God speaking, but God spoke. God spoke. Now you'd think, well, of course Jesus heard it. Yeah, well, John the Baptist heard it too. Now turn over to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, found any Christians, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Okay, now, here's what we have. We've done a hop, skip, and a jump from Genesis all the way to Acts. And we keep seeing God speaking to people. Now, in some situations, like, you know, with Nebuchadnezzar, wasn't the most pleasant thing. And here, with Saul, it turned out to be a good thing. But at first, you know, he wasn't too sure what was going on. The point I'm making is, these are just a few examples of people in both the Old and the New Testament who heard God speak. Now here's the question. Do you want to hear God? You say, well, yeah, if he only says something good to me. Do you want to hear God? You know what? I would think you'd be kind of, well, I would wonder where you're coming from if you said no. Do you want to hear God? Well, yeah, Pastor Jim, really, I'd like to. All right, then let me ask you this. Don't respond. I mean, just kind of sit there. But have you ever heard God? And some people are going to say, well, I don't know. Some people would just say, well, no. But you want to hear God. These people heard God. And these are just a few examples of people who heard God. Some folks could say, well, yeah, but, you know, I'm not a prophet. And, I mean, where in the Bible does it say that God only spoke to prophets? Nebuchadnezzar wasn't a prophet. God spoke to him. Cain wasn't a prophet. God spoke to him. So where does it say that God would only speak to a prophet? Well, it doesn't. And yet over and over again, we see God speaking to people. The problem we have, one of the problems, is that in the body of Christ, there are some denominations which will tell you God does not speak today. Okay, well, when did he stop? Well, when we got the Bible. When we got the Bible, that's when God stopped talking. Okay, what Bible? Well, that one in your hand. Well, the one in my hands is the King James Bible. And this thing was written in the 1600s. So are you telling me that God spoke all the way up to the 1600s? What are you telling me here? God doesn't speak today. Where in the Bible does it say that God no longer speaks to people? Where in the Bible does it say that the moment that the Bible was given to humanity, God stopped talking? Where does it say that? Because, see, if you buy into God doesn't speak to people anymore, my question would be, How do you know what you're supposed to do? How do you know what the will of God is? I mean, if He never speaks, and some people will tell you, well, if it seems right to you. Well, that's, no, that, you know, you can make anything seem right to you. Well, it just seems right that I should commit adultery over you. No, no. I mean, God wants me happy. Not that happy. No. If God doesn't speak anymore, what are you going to do? And again, where in the Bible does it say that He doesn't speak? Turn over to Psalm 29. Psalm 29, beginning in verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a unicorn. Like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf, and discovereth the forest. And in His temple doth everyone speak of His glory. Now, I don't know about you, but it looks to me like somebody knows that God speaks. The voice of the Lord does this. Well, it's just poetic. Well, you know, you die hard here, don't you, on this. He's telling us what the voice of the Lord will do. Well, yeah, but that's Old Testament. When are you just going to flat out admit that you've been told God doesn't speak, and so therefore you just accept the fact that your Father does not want you to hear anything He has to say? Now, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, you know, my dad was a man of few words, but he did speak. And sometimes the things that he said, I didn't really want to hear. But he did speak. My Father spoke to me when He wanted me to cut the grass. You know what? He didn't just sit in His recliner and look at me, you know, and try to, you know, communicate like a Vulcan, you know, the mind meld or something. No, He spoke to me. Dad spoke to me. And you know what? For us to say that our Heavenly Father doesn't want to speak to us, that's kind of nuts. He does. He does want to speak to us. Look in John chapter 4. One of the reasons people say God doesn't speak anymore is because they've never heard Him. They don't know how to recognize His voice. And they've never been taught how to recognize His voice. And so therefore, and it kind of comes down to something like this. Well, if God was going to speak, He'd surely speak to me. But He's never done that, so therefore, He doesn't speak. If God was going to speak, He'd surely speak to everybody in our denomination. But that's never happened, so therefore, God doesn't speak. Well, have you considered that your denomination hasn't figured this out? See, here in John chapter 4, in verse 23, Jesus said, "But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Well, we know He's speaking prophetically concerning the time when people would become born again and would be at that place to where they could have a spiritual relationship with God, not just a soulish relationship like Noah, Abraham, David, Daniel, so on and so forth. Because none of them had a spirit compatible with God. But God is a spirit, okay? And we know what happens when we get born again. Spiritually, we have a new life. The old man is removed, the new man created in righteousness and true holiness. So spiritually, we are now compatible with God who is a spirit. Now look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. All right, what do we see here? We've received a spirit that's not that lost, destined for hell spirit in the world. We have received a born-again spirit from God. And one of the reasons that He's given us this born-again spirit is so that we can know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which means somehow we have to come to that understanding and that conclusion. See, God doesn't speak today. You know, a lot of those folks are the same folks that tell you healing's not for today. Well, how'd they come to that conclusion? They can't hear. See, believing that God speaks today goes a long way toward understanding Scripture. And He says here that the Holy Spirit is involved in this, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, comparing the things of Spirit God, God is a spirit, with us, born-again spirit person. The Holy Spirit is now involved in doing this. And notice He says, the things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. What kind of words does the Holy Ghost teach? It's called tongues. Now, don't have to raise your hand. But how many of you in here can pray in tongues? It's like, well, I'm hoping the whole bunch of you. You know what that means? That means spiritually, you are hearing God. You say, well, how do you figure that? Because the Holy Spirit is speaking to our born-again spirit, giving us the words of that language that we are praying out of our mouth. You're hearing Him. Well, I never thought of it like that. Where else do you think the words are coming from? They're coming from the Holy Spirit. You're not the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit is conveying them to us some way, somehow. He's speaking those things directly to our spirit. Then we turn around and we speak them. It, like the Apostle Paul said, you know, when I'm praying in tongues, my understanding is unfruitful, but my spirit is praying. So then when it comes to hearing God, praying in tongues is extremely beneficial to hearing Him. Because what it's doing is training our spirit to hear Him. But if you don't think that's possible, you pray in tongues for hours and never believe that God's going to say anything if you don't believe He'll speak to you. God will speak to you. Now look over in 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. And once again, picking up in midstream, talking here about Elijah. And he, Elijah, came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he, God, said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, And a great strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And the conversation carries on. Now, notice there was a wind, earthquake, and fire. And the Lord was in none of those. But it wasn't until there was that still, small voice that Elijah heard. That is the same principle for us today. The still small voice in our spirit. This is where God communicates. Here's the problem. Sometimes we are the wind, the earthquake, and the fire drowning out the voice of the Lord. You ever been around people that it's like their life's mission is to interrupt you when you're talking? You ever been around folks like, now you can respond. This is one of those times. But you're kind of afraid to respond because the person that does that sitting next to you. People that interrupt, all right? Does it irritate you? Yeah, big time. Do you sometimes just want to put your hand over their mouth and say, "Shut up"? Do you want to say, "Hey, I was talking"? Right? You know what? God is not an interrupter. He doesn't do that. So, you can sit there and ramble on all you want. Sit there for an hour. And just, I mean, you've got ratchet jaws. Just go at it. And then when the hour is up, get out of the chair, go on about your business, and then complain, "God never speaks. I never hear God." And God is in heaven saying, "I couldn't get a word in edgewise. You know, all you did was talk." Let me clarify this. All you did was sit there and pray in tongues the whole time. I will not interrupt you. Why not pray in tongues and then just kind of sit for a little bit and listen? Listen on the inside, not on the outside. You just might hear me speak. Now, I will say this. If you do this enough, eventually what will happen? You're going to learn how to hear God while you're praying in tongues. But if you don't know how to recognize His voice, you'll pray in tongues. Oh yeah, listen, you're accomplishing much while you're praying in tongues. That's not the question. But it's a matter of hearing God. God doesn't want His children frustrated. "Ah, God never talks to me." Well, is it possible that He has, but you just don't recognize His voice? Is it possible He has, but you think it's just your imagination? That you're making it up? Is it possible? Yeah, very much so. Praying in tongues is one of the best ways to help condition your spiritual ears to hear God speak. Now, will it be like that movie, The Ten Commandments? Moses. Remember that? "Take off your shoes." No. You know what it's going to sound like? It's going to sound a whole lot like you when you're talking to yourself and not out loud. You know why? Because that's the voice you'll recognize the most. "I heard something. I think it was the devil." God said, no, 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 what? That was me. He will speak to you through your spirit, but you have to condition yourself to hear Him. Now, you can do this if you want, and one of the best ways to do it is you pray in tongues for a bit, then you stop and just listen. Oh, and make sure you've got something to write with and on, because when he starts talking, he may give you a lot. So you need to be ready to document it. You spend some time praying in tongues, then you just sit and wait and listen for a little bit. And then you can start praying in tongues again, and then sit and wait a little bit. Because what's happening is you're practicing, you're training yourself. God will honor that. And you will get to the point of hearing Him. Now, during the training process, there may be times where you think you've heard God when you really didn't. It's just that you were wanting to hear Him so bad that you created it yourself. You know, God told me that I need to eat a pound of chocolate every day. Okay, no, I don't think that was God. I think that was your taste buds. But that's a silly example. The more you do this, the more you will begin to hear God speak. So now what we're going to do, we're going to take 15 minutes. And in this 15 minutes, spend some of the time praying in tongues. But then stop and just listen. Now, he may not speak every time. Because sometimes he wants you to learn how to be still and know that he is God. But he will speak to you. So, we're going to have some music playing in the background. I'll be back up in 15 minutes to close out. Those of you listening to this, watching, do the same thing.